haste and agitation that I involuntarily rose at his approach, and impetuously inquired, "What is the matter? You have no bad news to tell, I hope." "I have come to see Mr. Veeley. Is he in?" "No," I replied. "He was unexpectedly called away this morning to Washington. Cannot be home before tomorrow. But if you will make your business known to me—" "To you, sir?" he repeated, turning a cold but steady eye on mine. Then, seeming to be satisfied with his scrutiny, continued, "There is no reason why I shouldn't. My business is no secret. I came to inform him that Mr. Leavenworth is dead." "Mr. Leavenworth!" I exclaimed, falling back a step. Mr. Leavenworth was an old client of our firm, to say nothing of his being the particular friend of Mr. Veeley. "Yes, murdered. Shot through the head by some unknown person while sitting at his library table." "Shot? Murdered?" I could scarcely believe my ears. "How? When?" I gasped. "Last night. At least, so we suppose. He was not found till this morning. I am Mr. Leavenworth's private secretary," he explained, "and live in the family. It was a dreadful shock," he went on, "especially to the ladies." "Dreadful," I repeated. "Mr. Veeley will be overwhelmed by it." "They are all alone," he continued, in a low business-like way I afterwards found to be inseparable from the man. "The Mrs. Leavenworth, I mean, Mr. Leavenworth's nieces, and as an inquest is to be held there today, it is deemed proper for them to have someone present capable of advising them. As Mr. Veeley was their uncle's best friend, they naturally sent me for him, but he being absent, I am at a loss what to do or where to go." "I am a stranger to the ladies," was my hesitating reply, "but if I can be of any assistance to them, my respect for their uncle is such—" The expression of the secretary's eye stopped me. Without seeming to wander from my face, its pupil had suddenly dilated till it appeared to embrace my whole person with its scope. "I don't know," he finally remarked, a slight frown testifying to the fact that he was not altogether pleased with the turn affairs were taking. "Perhaps it would be best. The ladies must not be left alone." "Say no more. I will go." And sitting down, I dispatched a hurried message to Mr. Veeley, after which, and the few other preparations necessary, I accompanied the secretary to the street. "Now," said I, "tell me all you know of this frightful affair." "All I know. A few words will do that. I left him last night sitting as usual at his library table, and found him this morning seated in the same place, almost in the same position, but with a bullet hole in his head as large as the end of my little finger."
"Dead?"
"Stone dead." "Horrible!" I exclaimed. Then, after a moment, "Could it have been suicide?" "No, the pistol with which the deed was committed is not to be found." "But if it was a murder, there must have been some motive. Mr. Leavenworth was too benevolent a man to have enemies, and if robbery was intended—" "There was no robbery," he again interrupted. "The whole affair is a mystery."
"A mystery?"
"An utter mystery." Turning, I looked at my informant curiously. The inmate of a house in which a mysterious murder had occurred was rather an interesting object, but the good-featured and yet totally unimpressive countenance of the man beside me offered but little basis for even the wildest imagination to work upon, and glancing almost immediately away, I asked, "Are the ladies very much overcome?" He took at least half a dozen steps before replying. "It would be unnatural if they were not." And whether it was the expression of his face at the time, or the nature of the reply itself, I felt that in speaking of these ladies to this uninteresting, self-possessed secretary of the late Mr. Leavenworth, I was somehow treading upon dangerous ground. As I had heard they were very accomplished women, I was not altogether pleased at this discovery. It was therefore with a certain consciousness of relief that I saw a Fifth Avenue stage approach. "We will defer our conversation," said I. "Here's the stage." But once seated within it, it was soon discovered that all intercourse upon such a subject was impossible. Employing the time, therefore, in running over in my mind what I knew of Mr. Leavenworth, I found that my knowledge was limited to the bare fact of his being a retired merchant of great wealth and fine social position, who, in default of possessing children of his own, had taken into his home two nieces, one of whom had already been declared his heiress. To be sure, I had heard Mr. Veeley speak of his eccentricities, giving, as an instance, this very fact of his making a will in favour of one niece to the utter exclusion of the other, but of his habits of life and connection with the world at large I knew little or nothing. There was a great crowd in front of the house when we arrived there, and I had barely time to observe that it was a corner dwelling of unusual depth when I was seized by the throng and carried quite to the foot of the broad stone steps. Extricating myself, though with some difficulty, owing to the importunities of a bootblack and butcher boy, who seemed to think that by clinging to my arms they might—